listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hi, this is Donalyn Curry, inviting you to tune into WCNO, Monday through Friday at 6:45 a.m. for Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church. Join Pastor Jerry for a service Sunday morning at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. Check us out on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at ChristFamilyChurch.net. And remember, keep the faith.
Hello, this is David Wilbur, a professional insurance agent right here on the Treasure Coast for more than 30 years and partner in InsurePro Insurance Agency located in St. Lucie West. My insurance knowledge and years of experience both in insurance and in life in general allow me to provide the right insurance advice to protect you, your family, your business. I am available at 871-6272 or on the web at insurepro.com. David Wilbur and InsurePro, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, known for quality advice and service.
Again, keep a biblical perspective. Keep a biblical understanding. Let the Bible define who your God is in all circumstances. Don't let the media, don't let religiosity, don't let the world define God when you're in trouble. Don't you turn and act and behave like the world.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea, chapter 7, verses 7 through 16. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will continue his discussion on 11 different consequences of living a life that is independent of God. We're going to pick up with the discussion on Israel's attempt to ally itself with pagan nations rather than trusting the Lord for protection. Now here's Pastor Bernard with the continuation of the egregious error of Ephraim.
You see, in Israel's efforts to arrange alliances with these foreign nations, God compared her to basically a dumb dove. See, a dove that doesn't think, a dove that has no heart, doesn't have any vision, doesn't have any integrity, doesn't have any intelligence. It just lands and joins and goes wherever it wants to go. Again, let me turn you to Israelite history. Under the King Menahem, King of Israel, 743 BC, Israel submitted again. They surrendered their sovereignty to Assyria. And you can see that in 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 9 through 20. So King Menahem said, you know what? We're going to go to Assyria no matter what it costs us. If it costs us our autonomy, if it costs us our sovereignty, that's okay. We just want to be protected by Assyria. And then the next king, Pekah, did the same thing. He joined a coalition, but against Assyria. Pekah said, you know, I'm putting a new wrinkle to this. I'm going to join a group of people against Assyria so we can break away now. But that got crushed by this king of Syria, Tiglath-Pileser. Crushed that in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 29. So Menahem surrendered the sovereignty. Other king, Pekah, said, I don't want to be on this thing anymore. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to rebel against that. The king of Assyria crushes that. Then the king of Israel comes in. The fourth king, Hoshea, acknowledging, hey, I better not mess with Assyria. They're big. They're strong. They're mighty. They're crushers. I saw what they just did. Well, you know what? I still don't want to pay any taxes. So Israelite king, Hoshea, said, I know Assyrians, you know, I'm going to stay under their leadership. I'm going to stay under their sovereignty for a little season. But then we're going to break free. We're going to declare our independence, and we're not going to pay no more of these taxes. So who's going to help you with this, King of Israel? Oh, we're going to go to Egypt. Maybe Egypt will help us to break away from this Assyrian control. We'll go ahead and align ourselves with Egypt so we don't have to keep making these tribute payments or paying taxes. And you can see that in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Needless to say, this act of rebellion led to the destruction of the northern kingdom. This again points to the consequences of a foolish foreign policy program, which for 20 years had been characterized by vacillating back and forth, trading partners, led by emotions, expedient measures without the word of God. United States of America, when will we invite God back in our rule making, our decision making? Churches, be careful before you align yourself with organizations and align yourself with parachurch organizations that they don't have the best interests of God at stake. They just want to profiteer. Be careful, church. We must always stay true to the faithful God, because only God can deliver us. Israel, again, found to be like a foolish dove. Point six, because they were foolish and made these alliances, and again, that's they fixed themselves in what I call fixed themselves in future judgment. Fixed in future judgment. Verse 12. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. This is God speaking through the prophet. I will spread my net upon them. That has nothing to do with blessing and protection. That is a position of judgment. You see, just like some of our nation's policies, Israel's policies had no place for God. Had no place for God. Therefore, God says, I'm going to act. Maybe Israel thought, we're so disconnected that God is sleeping. God doesn't care. We're going to do our own thing. But God says, I will take action. I'm going to take action. And what will God do? Well, since you saw alliances like a dumb dove, God says, I'm going to come in like a wise, well-equipped bird catcher. In the King James, the word is fowler. A fowler is someone that's able to trap birds, bird catcher. But God says, I'm going to trap them for their treason. They've been treacherous in their faith. They no longer trust me. They're leaning to their own understanding. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in the horses. They forgot to trust in the name of the Lord their God. How are you doing? You trusting in your bank account, your 401k? You trusting in the government, organizations, associations? Did you forget it's only God can give you blessed assurance? Only God can give you protection. Don't you forget that, church. Israel, God says, okay, I'm going to bring my net and I'm bringing them down. They're going to fly here. They're going to fly there. They're going to think they're free. They're independent. They're going to flit around, fly this way. God's got to get that net. Gotcha. Wait, God, I want to be free. I want to be independent. I got places I want to go. God says, no, because you've gone away from me. I'm bringing you down to earth. Be careful, churches in America. Be careful, United States. Seventh complication now, number seven. They're fixed in judgment, but they have an audacity in our next passage, in verse 13. Flagrant false charges against a faithful God. Flagrant false charges against a faithful God. That's complication number seven. Verse 13. Woe unto them, woe, woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. How is that possible? How can you get to a position of indifference and disrespect to reject, be vicious against a holy God? How'd that happen? Verse 13 opens up with what I call an ominous note. Anytime you see woe in the Bible, you need to say, whoa. That's a serious judgment. Woe is never associated with a party. Woe points our attention to a holy God. See, woe points to pending doom, pending destruction. I love how God is so consistent because, again, we find in the New Testament, the wages of sin is... God's consistent. You do wrong, there's going to be judgment. He's consistent. The basis for this judgment was Israel's rebellion. Again, Hosea chapter 8, we'll get to that eventually. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1, and also Hosea chapter 13. Their rebellion because they strayed away. Remember, as I read earlier in Psalms, like a drunkard, they stumble and stagger away from God. They had strayed away. Despite God's desire to save them, they rebelled against him. How long I want to redeem you, he says in the passage. I want to make it right. I've redeemed you. Don't you remember? You were in Egypt. How many years of oppression? How many years were you crying out? And I came and delivered you. But yet you create treachery against me. How many times I've delivered you? And over in Scripture, in the Old Testament, we can read about the deliverance from Egypt. The context in this passage, verse 13, also communicates something. That Israel's practical denial of God's redemptive ability was expressed in their attempts to find security through other nations. Again, they thought that there were a nation that could provide them the provision of protection that God could not do. They thought and believed that God is weak. They thought and believed that God is dead. They thought and believed that God is no longer engaged. This is what we do before we throw rocks at Israel. God ain't moving yet. I guess I'm going to have to do this myself. God doesn't care anymore. God doesn't seem interested in my challenges and my problems right now. I've went to church, I've prayed, I've read the Bible, I've gotten counsel, I've, you know, done all these religious exercises they tell me to do, but yet I don't see God. Guess what? I'm done with church. I'm going back to the world for help. Don't do that, body of Christ. The world can never deliver you. The world can never protect you. The world does not have the answer. Jesus will always be the answer for everything. Yeah, they flagrant false charges. You were false to think that God is impotent. You were false to think that God is no longer interested. You were false to think that God can't help. Flagrant false charges. We sing, great is his faithfulness. Is he not? He's always faithful. Now, complication number 8. They were firm in their rejection of God. They were firm in their rejection of God. That's in verse 14. And they had not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assembled themselves for corn and wine, and they rebelled against me. You see, Israel's rejection of the Lord is spelled out in this passage. The nation wanted a desirable crop. They wanted God to bless their agriculture, bless their grain, bless their new wine, but they refused to give God, they refused to reveal a complete heart of trust. They refused to give God complete devotion. And a lack of deep devotion to God will make it absolutely impossible to ask God to bless your mess. God's not going to bless you when you're in rebellion. That's an impossibility for God to be likened or connected with the acts of darkness. Did you hear me, church? So no matter what narrative that you're creating in the cranial, that little small part of your brain, the God of Scripture does not conform to the expectations of man. God says, hey, they don't love me, they love themselves. And yet they wail, they cry. That word wail or to howl out to God is oftentimes associated with what we see in Joel chapter 1 verse 11, where they cut their bodies, they were cutting their bodies, and they was mourning because of the crop failure. Oh, we didn't get a good crop this year. Maybe we cut ourselves. Maybe if we cry loud enough, maybe we holler loud enough, God will move. And they begin to do those things that was lawless against the holy God. Kind of reminds me of what happened in 1 Kings. The prophets of Baal began to cut themselves. The storm god, asking Baal, the storm god, to move in their life. Again, keep a biblical perspective. Keep a biblical understanding. Let the Bible define who your God is in all circumstances. Don't let the media, don't let religiosity, don't let the world define God when you're in trouble. Don't you turn and act and behave like the world. Trust God to be true. And yet, they were set in their rejection of God because in their mind, he's not listening, or he doesn't care, or there got to be another way. So that fixed them in this position to reject God. The ninth complication. They forgot that it was God that trained them to fight and gave them strength. They forgot that it was God that trained them to fight and gave them strength. Verse 15, though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. You see, again, in this passage, we see that Israel rebellion is reflected in their ingratitude. What does that look like? Let's take an academic success story. You've done the homework, you've taken all the examinations, you've written all the papers, you've gone before the board, and now you have your PhD and you miss the doctor or Mrs. Doctor. And you start out in the world, and then you forget who gave you the strength, you forget who fought those battles for you. They forgot it was God that trained and conditioned them. Don't you forget it's God that protects, God that conditions. And in this case, in this context, from a military standpoint, it was God that gave them successful military conquests after the other. It wasn't their own hands. It was God Almighty, and they forgot. They forgot it was God. Mom and Daddy, do you forget it's God, the one that taught you how to train those kids, invest in those kids, put you in a Bible preaching church, put you in a place where you get instructed to fight against the enemy? Don't you forget, all success belongs to God. God gets the glory. God is the one that sets Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. There's nothing this pastor can do. It is God that fight this church's battle. It is God that will press us forward. He's the one that gives us strength. Let us not reward God with an ungrateful heart. Amen. Amen. That word, strengthen their arms, that's a common expression in the Old Testament. And it's usually associated again with war and with victory. And you can see it past military successes. Now I want to focus in this passage, in this verse, that phrase, they plot evil against me. Or they imagine mischief against me. They imagine mischief against me in verse 15. The last half of verse 15, that specifically points to the deep hostility they had against God. It points to the intense hostility and ill will that they had toward God. So you could say they were in a bad place. I know people that were used to follow faith, used to come to church, but they're in a bad place. You mention anything about God, they hold an intense dislike, disrespect for organized religion and anything that has to do with God. They're in error, and it's egregious. Number 10 now, as we get ready to close, we put them together, verses points 10 and 11, we'll find in verse 16. Point 10, found to be a faulty bow, and point 11, fury-filled speech will prove to be fatal to their leadership. Fury-filled speech will prove to be fatal to their leadership. Verse 16, let's look at the faulty bow first. Verse 16, they return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword, for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Again, Israel, hostility, so intense toward the Lord, they express themselves in unfaithfulness on a regular basis. Look at the metaphor. Israel, you like an unfaithful bow. Now, if you know anything about fighting back then and the importance of the archers, if you have a bow, you expect the bow to execute and deliver the damage that you want the bow to get the job done. You don't want a faulty bow. You don't want a bow that's going to let you down. Got to make sure that your equipment is correct. Well, guess what? Israel said, God says, you know what? You're unfaithful like a bow that don't operate when you need it. Which is a reflection of your unfaithfulness toward me as your God. We need a reliable weapon. When you're fighting against the devil, you need a reliable weapon. Don't be trying to fight the enemy with equipment that doesn't work. Israel was compared again to a bow that's ineffective. Ineffective, doesn't work, unreliable. Does not respond. You're so hostile toward me, Israel, and you're so hostile toward my grace that you demonstrated your appreciation with ingratitude and disloyalty. Hold your place here. Turn to Psalm 78, verses 56 to 57. Hold your place here in Hosea, and let's turn to Psalm 78, verses 56 to 57. I want you to see this picture again that the psalmist portrayed about this faulty bow. I want you to see that again. Psalm 78, verses 56 through 57. Not a pretty history or nice track record we got going. The Bible says in Psalm 78, and verse 56, yet they, being Israel, yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept none of his testimonies. What did they do, preacher? What did they do, pastor? Well, verse 57, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. You see, the nation of Israel leaders turned their back on God, rejected God. They turn their back to the true source of protection, your true source of strength. Again, church, the true source of your protection, the true source of your security is not welfare, it's not the government, it's not some entitlement, it's not a program, it's God. That's your true strength. That's our protection. He's my deliverer. He's my king. Israel turned their back on him. Israel, because of their departure and because of their treachery and because of their treason against the holy God, God says, the very people you're looking for help, they're going to make fun of you and they're going to mock you. Look at the, turn back real quickly, go back to Hosea. I'm not good enough for them anymore. They turn into another nation. They turn to maybe their military might, their financial resources, their education. I don't know. They just don't want to bother with me anymore, God. God is saying, they return not to the Most High God. I love how God separates himself from everybody else. You see that? Don't miss that in that verse. He's the Most High God. He always will be greater than any other God because he's only the true God. But they wouldn't turn to me. That's why they're like this deceitful bow. So the princes, that's the rulership, those are the kings, the people making decisions, those that are in authority. What did the people in authority do? They will, what's the consequence? They will fall by the sword. Why? For the rage of their tongue, their insults, their hostility, their language toward me and going to other places. God says, okay, you want to talk to me that way? You want to treat me that way? Guess what? The very people you're trying to get help from, you will be in derision in the land. Again, that word derision, ridicule, be made fun of. The people that you sought for security will make fun of you and mock you. You see, that's the only thing that the devil has to deliver, church. Whenever you go to the enemy for help, he may set you up for a season like you're being successful, but guess what? You're the grass, and he's the lawnmower. Because you've placed yourself there. You made those decisions. But I got a good news for you. I got to close with good news. God is still gracious and merciful to call you from your ignorance, to call you from your delusion, to call you back from your self-centeredness. But you got to do this R word. You know what that R word is? Repent! Things are not going to change in your finances. Things are not going to change financially. Things are not going to change in your relationship. Things are not going to change with your walk with God until you get to that beautiful place called contrition and brokenness and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, as against you only have I sinned. He'll come to your rescue when you call. Or you call. I called. Did you call? He answers. He'll return. But you must return back to him. Amen? Don't forget about these 11 complications for operating in error against a holy God. And that only happens when you put your Bible down and you don't read it and you don't refer to it or you don't let the Holy Spirit lead you and you're letting somebody else teach you or someone else guide you and you don't turn to your absolute reference point for truth, because your reference point for truth has been your deceitful heart, which is desperately wicked. Leave it alone. Return to the Bible. Amen.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, The Egregious Error of Ephraim. In today's message, Pastor Bernard continued his discussion on 11 different consequences of living a life that is independent of God. In summary, these consequences indicate that sin causes us to have an incorrect view of God. Rather than viewing difficult circumstances through a biblical perspective, a self-centered person will automatically put God on trial. Oftentimes, we accuse God for circumstances that are a direct consequence of our own spiritual unfaithfulness. We must return to the truth of Scripture in order to have an accurate view of God and a right relationship with Him. To learn more about having a right relationship with God, visit our website at cbfdelray.org. We invite you to join us for the next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God. Lord.